this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, black and gold, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's October 1st, 2024. Hard to believe we are in October already. 2024 is flying by. But that's okay. We got plenty to talk about tonight on a brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast, streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel, on our Facebook page, and on our Twitch channel. So give us a like, follow, subscribe, hit that notification bell. Do all those things if you haven't already. If you're listening to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform, please make sure you're subscribed and give us that 5-star rating and review. We really appreciate it. Evan Webb, co-host in the house. Webby, what's going on?
What's going on, Tan? It's starting to feel a little bit like fall today with at least in central Indiana.
Yeah, I don't mind the 60-some degrees today. It's a little dreary out though, a little misty and rainy at times. Don't like that, but
yeah,
I love the fall, so that's my favorite season. So I'm all about the temperatures dropping a little bit, but I would like to see our Boilermakers get in the win column sometime soon. As not only was Saturday's result another loss at the hands of the Nebraska Cornhuskers by a score of 28-10. Purdue also, since the last time we recorded last week, has a new interim offensive coordinator, as Purdue decided on Sunday to part ways with Graham Harrell, who is in his second season of being offensive coordinator for Purdue. And in his place steps Jason Simmons as interim OC. What was your feeling? What was your reaction when the news came out Sunday? Because I know you're the one who broke the news to me.
Mm-hmm. It was needed, definitely. That was kind of the... what I was hoping was going to happen. I should say I was hoping this team's going to figure it out and turn things around. But from a, coaching standpoint, with Walters, obviously what we saw on Saturday was, again, just another game where the defense, did what they could do to make it a game, at least for definitely a half, part of the third quarter in special teams. but yet at halftime, it was still 0-0. The offense couldn't move the ball much at all. It looked like, nothing had changed from really even from like Indiana State game. We didn't have to do much. That team was just overmatched. So, but really not a whole lot of nothing was different from that game to the Notre Dame game, to the Oregon State game, to now the Nebraska game. But our reaction was, needed. Thank goodness. I was worried that this was going to happen, after the Bucket game, and that we were going to have a lot more games of, just of what we've been watching. I don't think this is going to by any means the cure all for anything, but I'm hoping this maybe, having a fresh set of eyes on things, on calling the plays, maybe at least does something a little bit different. I'm not asking for, we're not going to be able to reinvent the offense, on October 1st. It's going to be, but what you can do is, change some things up a little bit, add a few wrinkles here and there. Just make it to where it's not just a really boring product to watch.
Look at some of the comments here. Cameron Day on Facebook, wondering why we're hiring a high school coach as OC. Well, Cameron, what would you have done, I guess, in that position? Because you're most likely not going to hire outside the staff. And on the staff, Jason Simmons is one of the only, if not the only guy who's ever had experience at calling plays. And he does have collegiate experience coaching on the offensive side of the ball. Granted, it was only 1 year last year at Miami, Ohio, where he's a running backs coach. But you just got to put your trust in Ryan Walters at this point. I mean, it's funny to me. Purdue fans were just begging for him to make the move, be the CEO, make a move. He does that, and now they're still complaining. So it's like he can't win at this point. He can't win.
The only thing different I would have done, or that I would have maybe liked to see, and it still may happen. I don't know. I mean, obviously, this is only 2 days post that whole thing, but maybe announce, you know, they maybe brought in someone as just as a consultant, you know, someone maybe with some experience. But again, that's, it's tough to do October 1st.
Right.
And as we kind of talked about last week, you know, going back to, you know, who would we have, you know, picked on staff? I mean, the thing that we were excited about when the staff was hired was their youth, but that's also kind of the downside of it now too, is just there's not a whole lot of experience on that kind of thing. You know, some people thought maybe Corey Patterson was going to do it. He wasn't the guy I was hoping for. There was the, who was the kind of Harold's right-hand man? What was his name?
Keen, I think.
Yeah. I wasn't, his name was thrown around. I wasn't really thrilled about that possibility just because he was Harold's right-hand man. So I'm just like, you know, do we want someone who was, you know, with Harold the whole time? But I mean, we'll see. I mean, I like I said, I'm not expecting Purdue to all of a sudden turn into, you know, a juggernaut on offense, but I'd like to at least see some improvement or something, just something different. Like,
yeah,
you know, because what we're seeing right now is just the offense leaving the defense out to dry, which is causing, the defense to kind of just eventually just give way in the second half because they've just been on the field for so much because the offense can't sustain a drive longer than three plays.
Yeah, and maybe it'll be tough for Jason Simmons to add his own wrinkles just one weekend, but maybe we'll see a few. But, you know, come next week against Illinois, the following week against Oregon, as the season progresses, I think you'll see more and more wrinkles. You know, whether that's rolling out the pocket for Hudson Card, more getting the ball out of Hudson's hand more quickly, screen passes. But, you know, to Ted Berkey's point here on YouTube, can the offense get much better if the O-line isn't better?
No, I mean, it's a good point. But I think what they could do, I mean, because, I mean, at least in our lifetime, Purdue's never had, you know, the most dominant offensive line, you know, again, in the Big Ten. Like, I mean, outside of, I mean, the Tiller days, maybe, like, they had some good ones. But, like, since we've, you know, since the Tiller era, like, Purdue just never had a dominant line. I mean, even Jeff Brom teams didn't have a dominant line, but they were able to scheme some things to, you know, to not just be straight up, because that's when you go straight up, that's when, you know, you get your butt kicked.
Right.
Yeah.
Cameron Day on Facebook saying Nick Saban is a free agent. Well, he's getting paid more by College Game Day than Purdue could ever pay him. Plus, he hates the NIL. So I would be surprised if Saban ever gets back involved in coaching. He kind of made that clear on Saturday and then during game day. So, but looking at the statistics from Saturday, like I said, it was another ugly game. I mean, just looking at first downs alone, Nebraska had 25 to Purdue's 12. What's eye-popping to me is 8 of those 25 first downs for Nebraska came on the way of penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 of those were pass interference penalties by Nyland Green, which was great to see him out there.
Yeah.
But you could tell he's rusty.
Did he even play much at Georgia? I don't know if he played much at Georgia. Like, this is probably his first real game action since high school.
Yeah, I think he played maybe as reserve a little bit, but not much. Yeah. Rushing, Purdue did keep Nebraska under 300. So it's not 3 games in a row that somebody that the opposition has rushed for over 300 yards, but they rushed for 161 yards, 2 touchdowns. Purdue only had 50, netted only 50 yards on 31 attempts, 1.6 yards per carry. So just not there. Passing, ugly day for the Boilers, 174 yards, and a lot of those were in garbage time. Hudson Card was 18 for 25 for 1 touchdown. That was in garbage time, and 1 interception, which led to a pick 6. Mm-hmm. 3 games in a row, Hudson Card has thrown a pick 6, so that is not good. Dylan Royola, the Wonder Boy freshman, threw for 244 yards. He was 16 for 26, 1 touchdown. Total offense, Nebraska had 405 yards on 58 plays. Purdue only 224 yards on 56 plays. Let's see here. Miscellaneous times of possession was almost even. Nebraska had the ball 30 minutes and 18 seconds. Purdue 29 minutes and 42 seconds. One positive was Purdue's third down conversions. Mm-hmm. They were 7 for 15, which is a heck of a lot better than they had been doing. In red zone scores, they were 1 for 2. That being the touchdown they scored, right? Was that from the red zone? Because the field goal they scored, they didn't never got in the
red zone.
Purdue only had 1 sack, Nebraska had 5. Nebraska was 2 for 4 red zone conversions. Mm-hmm. Field goals, Nebraska was 0 for 3. They missed one and had 2 blocked, both in the second quarter. Purdue was 1 for 2. And like you mentioned at the top of the pod, it was 0-0 at halftime, which was the first Purdue football game to be at that score at halftime since 1993 versus Notre Dame.
Yeah.
So, pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. But I thought the defense did good enough keep Purdue in the game. And for whatever reason, come to fourth quarter when it was 7-3 entering the fourth, don't know if they just wore down or Nebraska kind of woke up or what it was, but it got ugly there in the fourth.
And it's kind of the same story as Oregon State where, you know, if the offense could have just done something in the first half, you never know how that second half shakes out. You know, like with Oregon State, you know, Purdue stops them on fourth down on their own territory, first drive of the game, and the offense punched that in instead of fumbling it, you know, that game all of a sudden maybe doesn't get turned on its head right away. Same with this game. You know, Purdue just couldn't. I know they did score a touchdown in the first half, but it got called back. I think it was the first half, but it got called back off a penalty.
Yep. Lots of penalties.
Yeah, which some of the pass interference ones I can live with to a point because it's, I mean, these DBs are coached to be aggressive and physical. I'm okay with some of those, but it's the ones where like they're not even paying attention to the ball and it's just like blatant, like you're not even trying to get the ball. Like that's where it's the frustrating ones because it's like at least act like you're trying to do something other than grab the receiver. And then obviously there was the killer third down conversion on Nebraska's first drive of the second half where was it Jefferson?
Stepped
over the guy getting him to steal. It would have been like a 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5, but you give an automatic first down right there. They end up scoring a touchdown and took the lead and never looked back.
Yep.
So that was killer. Just really stupid. Guys do it all the time, but the ref was literally right behind him. Like it was just a boneheaded play, which is really frustrating. I know obviously Walters was really frustrated after the game about that kind of stuff, but it's been blatantly obvious that this is a team that cannot create adversity for itself. Because if you get into these penalty situations or turnovers, like it does not have the horses to kind of overcome itself.
And Nebraska had a lot of penalties too. They had 11, but only for 94 yards. Purdue had 13 for 165. Can't do that. Even in the win against Indiana State, they had way too many penalties. So this is a common occurrence. And my dad brought up a good point. And that I had kind of forgotten about. I remember Jeff Brohm when Purdue would play against Illinois, when Ryan Walters was there, made comments on how Illinois grabs every single time. They're coached like that because you can't call it every single time. But Illinois we would always bait Illinois into tons of pass interference penalties. Mm-hmm. Kind of seeing it translate over to Purdue.
Yeah.
How they're coached.
Yeah. Yep.
So a couple of comments I want to get to here. Patrick Kennedy on YouTube, let Card run so much for a mobile quarterback. Hopefully Jason Simmons does incorporate the mobile ability of Hudson a little more in the plays. But they do a lot of those read RPOs, those read pass options and stuff. Run pass options, thank you. And those don't seem to work. I mean, that's how they fumbled at Oregon State, the miscommunication, Hudson tried to pull it when Mockbee tried to keep it in the red zone, Oregon State, and kind of got Purdue off the wrong foot. But maybe Simmons will have some wrinkles there that lets Hudson run a little bit more. And hopefully he's smart about it too, because Purdue, even with a 1-3 record, can't afford for him to go down and go out.
No, if they throw in maybe Ryan Brown, he's got some mobility.
Yeah. Like they could always have a package for him.
Yeah, I mean, something. I mean, at this point, anything. I'll take anything at this point.
Doug and Angie Lotta on YouTube said OC had to go. Yep. We are in agreement there. And Evan put it perfectly on our Twitter. You know, from a personal standpoint, you hate when somebody gets fired and loses their job. But this was a move that had to be made.
Yeah.
Does it fix everything? No, but it's an encouraging sign.
I mean, by all accounts, he seemed like a good dude. Good guy. Like, this is one thing. If a guy's just, you know, an embarrassment to the program from like a outside the field of play. When it's just like, when it just doesn't work out, it just kind of sucks. Cause, you know, when he got hired, I was excited, you know.
I think everybody was.
Yeah. You know, obviously the Mike Leach connection. But it just wasn't something just wasn't working. I don't know. And this, as you kind of put it, like, know if it's sometimes these college coaches just get really, really stubborn in their ways, and it just sometimes that can be their downfall. And hopefully this is a sign that when that Walters is, you know, taking this seriously. I mean, he is taking it seriously, but, you know, it's not something that he's going to just kind of let sit by and wait until the end of the year, which, you know, could have been something that happened under Danny Hope or something. I don't know. I mean, did we fire any coordinators midseason with some of those, with like Hazel or Hope? I can't remember.
Not midseason, to my recollection. After season, yes.
Yeah,
not midseason.
I think Purdue's the first Division I team to fire a coordinator this season. So yep.
It's only four games in for Purdue, five games for other teams. So
the
season's still pretty young. I mean, you know, the likelihood of Purdue making a bowl game is very slim. They'd have to go 5-3 the rest of the way. I mean, it's still possible. It's always possible.
It is technically, yes. It is technically possible.
But they would definitely need a win this Saturday against a foe they've lost 17 straight against in Wisconsin. Yeah. We'll get into that in a little bit. One of my takeaways from Saturday is still that we're still looking for that next man up, a wide receiver, or anybody to step up. Jamal Edgerin still sidelined. C.J. Smith, no idea if and when he's going to put on a Boilermaker uniform this year. Jerron Tibbs was my prediction for player of the game, MVP of the game. He led the team with five receptions and in yards for 46, Long being 19, but still not enough yet to say he's the go-to guy. Max Clair's probably the go-to guy for this offense. Yeah. He had three receptions for 40 yards.
Drew Bibber. Crucial drop
on fourth down with a real nice ball by Hudson.
Yeah.
Drew Bibber, nice to see him get involved. Mm-hmm. Three receptions for 24 yards. Cam Brown at one for 16. Leland Smith, one for 15. The Nyland Morissette, one for 14. Devin Mockbee, one for 14. Shamar Rigby, one for 7. Reggie Love, one for 5. And Hudson Clark played a pass to himself for a loss of negative 7 yards.
Yeah.
So, not a lot of positives to take away from Saturday. But, you know, you got to just take what the coach is saying, that we're not inside the locker room. And he seemed to like the attitude of the team yesterday during his Monday press conference. I wonder how practice went today. sometimes a change of staff can be a spark a team needs. More times than not, it's not when it comes to a coordinator changing. But I do agree with Patrick here. Walters must stop chewing gum during postgame. It was hard to hear him on the radio the other day. You could tell he was chewing gum.
Yeah.
He needs to spit that out. Nervous tendency or whatever. You had to spit your gum out there. It was nice that he asked about Tim Newton's wife. She must be sick or something. So that was kind of because
caught Newton off guard too.
Yeah. And I think he really appreciated it. But I think Walters is a good dude. I think this is bothering him so much because not only his job's at stake, but he's putting his heart and soul into this too. He's a competitor, but he's definitely shown some signs of a young second year head coach.
He's building a house too, so it's like
he is.
Through.
I still would be shocked if he gets fired after the season.
Yeah, it's got to be one like
more. Now. Will his seat be very hot if Purdue only wins one or two more games? I think so. I think for his seat not to be hot going into next year, he needs to win at least four total, so three more, and be competitive in those other games.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions to you. Is like, what do you feel like this team has to do to not necessarily like? I wasn't really thinking Walter's seat being hot, but more like for you to be like, okay, this is like going in. There's a step in the right direction. Like, what does this team have to do for you to be like not going to next year? Going like, God help us, sort of feeling.
Yeah, get a couple more wins, of course, and be competitive, especially towards the end of the season. I think that's why a lot of us were optimistic coming into the season because last year, the last month, Purdue played pretty well, especially on the offense side of the ball. And I want to see some playmakers step up so I can be excited about some guys assuming they return next year. You know, I assume Devin Mockbee will be back. We know he can be a playmaker. Max Clair looks like he could be, but what other wide receivers? Because the wide receiver room was just scraped.
Decimated.
Thank you. Good word choice. Decimated by the transfer portal, and who's to say it won't happen again? It could happen on both sides of the ball. Dylan Thiedemann could leave. I hope not. And speaking of Thiedemann, I know I'm kind of jumping all around. That was one thing I was glad to see on defense. Change some things up. Put Thiedemann up more in the box. Joseph back. KJ Kydren Jenkins back to his original position at end, which I still think that's his best position to help Purdue win. So we saw some wrinkles on defense. Who's to say we won't see some wrinkles on offense?
Yeah, that's what I liked from the game was, like, we saw, especially from, like, you know, going from Notre Dame to, you know, two games later, like, there's definitely been a conscious effort to change it, which is, like, what we heard from the coaching staff, but sometimes we've heard in the past of coaches say, oh, we're gonna change some things up, and then we don't see anything. But this was a noticeable difference. And even, like, again, Oregon State, we saw some differences, and just, like, one, better tackling, which was hard to get any worse than Notre Dame. Saw some things different, but then this game, it was very noticeable from, like you said, I mean, we saw Will Helt going into coverage, so I'm not sure I was a huge fan of, but he's athletic enough that he was able to do decently well. Thieneman was kind of was much closer to the play. And like I said, KJ going back to that rush end, which was not really able to get a whole lot of pressure on Raiola. I think a lot of times he only rushing three. But that did give me hope that, okay, this staff is actually, you know, doing what they say they're going to do. So hopefully we continue to see that. Like I said, hopefully we can now see that with the offensive side of the ball, because up to this point we hadn't really seen anything different outside of completing a few more third downs.
Ted Berkey with a good question comment here on YouTube. Depending on who leaves, will tell us the state of the locker room. Do the players have faith in Walters? Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to guess without being inside the walls. You hope so, as a fan. But you know, I thought Nick Scorton, and maybe Nick Scorton still did have faith in Walters. It's just he got paid big time
at Texas A&M
because his stats are nothing this year. But he could be getting double teamed more down at College Station too. I don't know. I haven't watched much of Texas A&M, but he's playing on a better team that's ranked, and he got paid big time. But he would have stood out more probably if he stayed at Purdue, and he would have helped Purdue out.
I don't know who ESPN or someone put out a mock draft. And he was still first round. He was late first round. I know we'd seen some earlier this year where he was like top 10, but now I saw one. He was like, he was in the bottom probably 10 picks, I thought, but still, I mean.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. Purdue did lose an in-state wide receiver commit over the last day or two. Sounds like he was kind of all over the place anyways. He was previously committed to Louisville before flipping to Purdue, so we'll see where he goes from there. Yeah, they're going to lose some commitments over this. I know their quarterback for next year's class.
2026. It was 2026.
Thank you. Not 2026. Didn't seem pleased by Graham Harrell being fired by his tweet of just three dots. But, you know, that you can't worry about that.
And with a kid like that, 2026, we still have a lot of time to hopefully – win him back, or, you know, depending on who the new hire, because I guess we'll see kind of how the season plays out, but I would imagine they go to a national search for the OC next year.
Unless Simmons does really well.
Fad
Mooney on Facebook said as far as scoring, he's been fighting double teams in the SEC. Makes sense. So, but let's talk about Jason Simmons a little bit more. A lot of the listeners and viewers out there might not be familiar with Jason Simmons. This is his first year on the Purdue staff. He was an offensive analyst till this week, where he's been promoted to the interim OC. Last year was his lone season coaching at the collegiate level. He was the running backs coach for the Miami, Ohio Redhawks. He helped produce Miami's first 1,000-yard rusher since 2005, and Miami combined to rush for 2,213 yards. They had not rushed for over 2,000 yards as a team since 2003. Rashad Amos earned All MAC honors last year. Before that, he was the head coach at Ben Davis High School in Indianapolis, Indiana, from 2018 to 22. While with the Giants, he helped six players earn Division I scholarships, and his team advanced to the semifinals from 2019 through 2021. And he mentioned four players that eventually played in the NFL during his 23 seasons of coaching high school football in Indiana prior to Ben Davis. He was the head coach at Noblesville High School from 2016 to 18. Before being promoted to head coach, he was Noblesville's office coordinator from 2013 to 15, and also helped a position coach for tight ends, quarterbacks, and offensive line during his time in Noblesville. He also coached at Hamilton Heights from 99 through 05, and again 09 through 11, and Ben Davis at 06 through 08. He was an assistant coach in the 2020 Adidas All-American Bowl, earned his undergraduate degree from Miami, Ohio in 1999, and his master's degree from Ball State in 2006. this all comes from PurdueSports.com.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Best of luck to him. I have a good close family friend who coached with him at Ben Davis, And this family friend's a big Notre Dame fan, but he said he will be hardcore Purdue the rest of the way this season because Jason Simmons is his guy. That was verbatim there on the phone yesterday. So, Patrick Kennedy on YouTube, this is basic football, tackling, blocking, penalties. These are college players, not peewee football. Ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure a lot of teams that are struggling right now would their fans would say the same thing. You know, coaches got to coach better, players got to play better.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that. Especially the penalties, because that can kill you. Purdue's not good enough to have a large margin for error. So,
yeah.
Any other thoughts from the Nebraska game before we move on?
It was good to see the crowd show up for the homecoming. I mean, you know, the weather was a little dicey to start the game. Second half was, you know, very. I got sunburned. I came, wore my rain jacket in the first half. Got sunburned in the second half. Not many times that happens. A lot. But you know, like student section looked. You know, was a little nervous when the kickoff started, but like within a few minutes, the student section had filled up. Obviously, Nebraska brought a ton of fans as they always do. But it was a good crowd. Always will. It was a good crowd. So hopefully, I mean, in a couple weeks will be interesting to see with Oregon coming to town. I think these next 2 weeks will be crucial with how that fan support looks. With it being a night game, you know, it's always kind of just fun to go to a night game anyway.
In a Friday night game, you won't get the high school attendance that you normally would. But Oregon's probably good. Well, the week before, so next week they do play Ohio State. So that could drop them or make them go up in the rankings. Right now they're in the top 10. And they look every bit of it as of late. So I'd still think a good crowd for that game. The Northwestern game on November in early November has already been listed as a sellout, which is surprising. Now that game definitely could not be a sellout come time of. And then the other game, Senior Day, you got Penn State. So it's a good home schedule as far as attendance. And Saturday's attendance was the biggest homecoming game attendance since 2005. So shout out to the fans who have been showing up. Definitely understand heading for the X's early though. And I definitely, you know, the team takes notice of that too. And the coaches, I'm sure. So hopefully they can show enough the next 2 weeks to keep the fans showing up, because once fans lose interest, it is hard to get them back.
Yeah, it is. But no, I mean, it was, you know, first half was entertaining just because it was, you know, defense was showing up.
Had a chance.
But yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, I mean, you even said it in the second half, which was sad, but Nebraska scored and you're like, I think your word was like, is it sad that I feel like this game might be over? Yeah, and it was 7-3, which is not a good feeling. Yeah. Cause yeah, it was just like, cause I just knew like if we went down two scores, it was over. Cause just this offense was not moving the ball, which is not fun. It's just like, I wouldn't even like, I'm to the point now where I'm not even like mad at the offense. It's just like, you just expect it, which is not a fun place to be. I kind of skipped right through the anger and just kind of, I'm almost apathetic with the offense. And just praying the defense can create a turnover, which they haven't done yet. The only team in the country who hasn't forced a turnover yet, which is wild, but
it's hard to do because you will luck into an interception or fumble from time to time.
Yeah. But also, I mean, a lot of times these teams we played, they've run the ball really well, and it's a lot harder to, you know, cause a fumble than, you know, have a pass, you know, tip the line of scrimmage or something like that. We just haven't made these teams throw the ball. But yeah, hopefully Saturday's going to see something a little different.
Yeah. And let's go ahead and talk about Saturday against an opponent that I think all Purdue fans hate. That's the Wisconsin Badgers. Looking at the football history that started on October 19th, 1892 through last year's game, September 22nd, 2023. Purdue is 29-53 against Wisconsin with 8 ties. Record at Ross State 16-24-3. Record at Camp Randall's 13-29-5. Current losing streak is 17 in a row for the Boilermakers. The last win against
21 years.
The last win against the Badgers was in Camp Randall, a 26-23 win on College Game Day back in 2003.
Ben
and
Jones.
Then the losing streak. We don't have to mention how it started, but it started in 2004. By loss of 2017. We've talked about that ad nauseum in the podcast in the past, and we won't revisit it. It is amazing to think Purdue hasn't beat the Badgers in Ross State since 97.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So they lost to them at home in 99, 28-21. Another eye-popping stat of the 17 losses in a row, only two of them have been by single digits.
Yeah.
That was two of them under Jeff Brohm. 2017, we lost at Camp Randall 17-9. Then an absolute heartbreaker in 2018 by a score of 47-44 in triple overtime.
Yeah.
The other recent matchups last year was a loss at home 38-17 on a Friday night game.
Yep.
Lost to Mass in 2 years ago, 35-24. It was a real hyped up game. Purdue thought they could finally get them, and Purdue was down 14-0, I think, within 4 minutes of that game. Yeah. Got smacked at home in 2021, 30-13, despite a George Karloftis fumble recovery for a touchdown. Smacked in Madison 2019, 45-24. Already mentioned 2018, 2017, Hazel years. Purdue was never close. Closest game was 2015 and a 24-7 loss. The 2 years I was a manager was awful. 2012, my rain gear got good use in a 38-14 loss. And the year before that, up at Camp Randall, glad I didn't have to make the trip. I remember it was an ABC game, and Purdue lost 62-17.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then my freshman year, I remember Sean Robinson was the quarterback that day, and Purdue lost 34-13. So, 37-0 in 2009.
Yeah.
So, that's one of the only times I can remember Purdue getting blanked, but
yeah,
just a lot of ugly games. 24-3 in 06, 31-20 in 2005. Just a lot of ugly games. But this Wisconsin team's not your typical Wisconsin team. Luke Fickell brought his version of an air raid offense in last year, and so far it's not going very well. The fans up there in Madison are getting frustrated that they're running the ball from 3 to 4 yards behind center, taking snaps instead of going right under center, running behind the big farm boys of Wisconsin. And Wisconsin sitting at 2-2. They played a good first half out in Southern California against USC, but it was a game of tales of two halves because they did not play well in the second half and USC pulled away. So Wisconsin is not playing their best football, much like Purdue. But they are playing better football, I would say, than Purdue is. They got quarterback problems, though. Tyler Van Dyke, starting quarterback's injured, so they've had to go to a backup quarterback. So they're kind of in win now or never mode, too, because they have Purdue and Northwestern as their next two games.
Yeah. So if you're a Wisconsin fan, you look at these next two games of like, okay, this is where the season is going to be. This is going to tell you where the season goes. It's either going to – you know, you get two wins there, you're 4-2. You know, now you're, got some momentum probably heading in the right direction. But if you lose even one of these games, if not both, it spells disaster for the Badgers.
Yep, absolutely. How fitting and funny would it be for this year of all years for Purdue to snap that streak? If Purdue beats Wisconsin, do all those fans that are complaining now get right back on board?
That's an interesting question.
I would say you almost have to. They snapped a 70-game losing streak against an opponent.
Yeah. He's done something like literally three coaches before him had not done.
I'm not holding my breath, but I'm not saying.
But I mean, I will say what gives me hope is that, again, like these, the reason Purdue's lost so badly in these years, because like the way Wisconsin was built was the antithesis of how Purdue was built on defense. So hopefully maybe with the fact that they're a little more like, Purdue in the air raid style, maybe that, I mean, who knows? I have no idea. We'll see. It obviously didn't work out well last year. But yeah, it's just one of those things where I never look forward to this game. There are a few years where I got my hopes up and those were dashed. So it's the reason it was my one confidence point game out of all the teams Purdue plays this year. It was still my one confidence point game.
It's we'll believe it when we see it type of thing for sure. One thing I wanted to mention, hopefully he's still watching, Thad Mooney, a good friend of the show, diehard Boiler fan. He sent me some really good text messages with his thoughts on the state of the program right now. And I told him I was going to share a couple of them tonight on the podcast. And I just now thought of doing so. After I sent him the tweet about Purdue moving on from Harrell, in his opinion, he said, a step in the right direction. I still believe in Coach Walters. He's getting the dudes in the defense and the back end. Got to keep them and get in the trenches, though. He said he's muted a lot of pages, get tired of a lot of stupid, I'll say fans, that are hire these alums, bring us back to glory. So if you want to get rid of a first-time coach for guys that haven't coached, or the he sucks at interviews, he doesn't say or every other word. Yes, he seems lost. Dude's pouring his soul into it, is mentally drained from losing and losing bad with no support. You want to win? Open your checkbooks up or shut up. The potential is there. 4-8 with a gutter roster last year. Lost most good players you had to NIL, money, sweepstakes. We've never won anything. Most of our best pro players never won anything. If you want better, contribute, because if you don't, we're just a stepping stone school. If we're good, we're a revolving door of buyouts and whatnot. He said, Graham Harrell's kind of in the realm of Mike Woodson career average, like 3 years as a spot. Harrell's never good, does enough to be gainly employed as an OC for 2 to 3 years. Couldn't make his version of the air raid, more like deflate raid at USC with that talent pool. Wasn't going to work for us. Even the pages that are posting of guys, we need to find another Tiller. If Tiller was hired in today's age and did what he did in the 97-98 season with Alamo Bowl wins and toppling Kansas State and Coach Snyder, he would have been gone to a top 20 school in 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Been saying it for a while. Get a coach, let them build, accept 7 to 8 wins. Fans need to learn with the new Big 18. Better to be surprised and disappointed. If Purdue pulls off a 9 to 10 win season, sweet, accept it, move on.
No, very well put. I mean, I don't think anything that I disagree with. It just the way that Purdue, just the way that the landscape of college football is in 2024, it's going to be tough. Like, I know we've talked about, like, you know, there's definitely a new level of expectation for a school like Purdue. Now, I think they can definitely get, you know, take that next step, but it's not going to happen overnight. You know, you first kind of start dominating your peer programs, which is, you know, as of right now, it's the Illinois, the Indianas, the Minnesotas, Michigan States. You could probably have Nebraska in there as of right now. That's probably going to change very soon, just with their talent pool that they have that they can get. But they can get it because they got the funds. That's what it comes down to. The fans have to take part in that too. But also, you know, there could be a way that the athletic department kind of restructures things. We're seeing it all over the place. You know, Tennessee is putting a talent fee on all tickets, like
10%, I think.
10%. Like, it's, hey, it's, I mean,
that's the first of many.
The first of many. Yeah. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, we saw, not pre-related, but, you know, the UNLV quarterback, transfer, put his name in the transfer portal, take his red shirt and transfer. And now all of a sudden we're seeing a bunch of dudes, put their name in the transfer portal. So, like, I feel like I don't remember seeing guys do it. Obviously we saw TJ Sheffield last year kind of
quit on the team one game
ago. At the end of the season, but now we're seeing guys, and I saw a couple guys from Indiana who were on that weren't really getting playing time. They put their name in transfer portal already. It's wild, but I think, like you said, like, it's, you know, Purdue has to, I feel like as of right now, Purdue's either a school that gets a guy on like the rebound, like, I know Dan Mullen's name keeps getting thrown around of, like, you know, potential either OC or, you know, replacement for Walters if that ever comes to it. But it's like, you guys like that, or if you get a new guy, yes, you could potentially lose him unless obviously, like, money talks. But, right. When Walters talks about how he wants to build a career here, I really do believe it. Mm-hmm. Now, again, like, if someone comes, calling with $10 million a year, that's going to be tough to turn down, obviously, for him and his family. But it just takes time. I think it was Anish from Boyle Sports put a really good tweet the other day, and I was going to look it up, but I couldn't find it quick enough. But it was like, people always like the, take time and patient, route until it's actually time to be patient. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now, which, again, part of the fans, we have our frustration is valid too. Like, what we're seeing on the field is not what we were told or sold, I should say, in the offseason. In the offseason we heard about, which, again, I mean, you take it at face value, but, we've heard about, like, hey, the receiver room is so much improved. The offensive line is deeper than it's been in years. And,
seeing it.
Yeah. Second year quarterback Hudson Carr, fully healthy now. Second year under Graham Harrell, like, he knows the offense. His offense is going to be, a lot more tight, and then we're just not seeing it at all. Right. So there's a reason we have valid reasons to be,
sure.
But I think also we have to give, let Walters and company time to fix it too. Yeah. Like, it's,
I don't want people to come away from this podcast thinking we're just happy as can be. Because no, I'm pissed off. I'm frustrated as a fan. As a fan that spends money on season tickets and goes to a game and invests my time, even in the away games to watch, and you know, invest in this program, and it means a lot to me. And I want to see him succeed. I'm mad, but I'm also, I know it's a young head coach in the second year. Say you fire Ryan Walters after this year, what messages does that send to your pool of candidates?
Yeah.
Oh God, if I don't get it done in 2 years, I'm out. I mean,
and it's Purdue. It's not like it says Alabama. Like it's just like, you know, you know. In reality, we're a bottom tier Big Ten team right now.
And the conference just got tougher.
Yeah, yeah. We're 2 years removed from Big Ten championship appearance, but again, we were in the Big Ten West. It's like we got lucky.
Now I think that. Tone and the attitude of a lot of fans would be different, even if Purdue had the same record right now, 1-3, if they're more competitive.
Oh, 100%.
Notre Dame, Oregon State, and Nebraska. Yeah. Because really,
Had Purdue lost 35-24 to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
A lot
66-7.
Yeah.
And really, I had them 2-2 after September. Mm-hmm. I had them winning the Oregon State game. That was the one game they've lost that I had them winning in my preseason predictions. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. A lot of games left. That's why I'm not giving up yet. Don't like the direction it's heading. Don't get me wrong, but
look at the schedule. It's like, God, you know, you can probably say one win just right now. It's Northwestern just because of what we've seen, but it's not even a guarantee. But going back to my question earlier to you where I asked, you know, what would give you hope?
Yeah.
I think if we can get, I would say for me, if we got at least two wins, but then looked
two more or two overall,
two more wins. Yes.
So three overall.
Like Northwestern and then Michigan maybe Indiana. Like I right now, Indiana looks like they might.
Maybe Illinois. Call me crazy. I know Illinois got by, but some with the staff against Illinois.
And
we've had good luck against Illinois. I don't.
Yeah. I won like seven straight or something crazy like that. Yeah. But that, and then like in games like Penn State, maybe Ohio State's the one that's going to talk, 'cause it's on the road, but like in Oregon, you know, those games, like, don't get blown out in the first half, like, type of thing. Like, you know, if they pull away in the fourth quarter, so be it. But if it's like a, you know, as long as it's not like, you know, 28-3 at half in the game, if the game feels over, I'll feel a lot better if it's a little bit closer and Purdue can at least hang on, but then just, you know, lose out because of just overall talent. That's, you know, it is what it is. But you just want to see more competitive games and not feel like the game's over after the team scores twice.
That Mooney on Facebook here, by being lower part of the conference and by some stats, NCAA, let a coach build something, give the support. Slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Don't rush to failure. I would love to see Purdue get off like a 10-0 start Saturday and see
what happens.
Get a freaking lead at some point and see what happens.
Yeah, 3-0 was our first lead since the Indiana State game.
We didn't have it
very long.
No,
because the next possession they scored.
Get a touchdown lead or a double-digit points lead and see what happens. See if the confidence starts growing in the team and just play ball. See what happens. What's your spicy bowl prediction for Saturday?
Purdue has 3 touchdowns by half.
That's spicy and bold. That is spicy and bold. My spicy bold prediction is Purdue gets not one, but 2 turnovers on defense.
Okay. I like it.
2.
Yeah.
2. They got it. One of these days. Yeah. I mean, our one we got at Oregon State got called down, the muff punt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Forgot about that one.
Which I still didn't see clear evidence, but what do I know? Either there wasn't clear evidence that Miami, Florida, Virginia Tech game either. And that just Virginia Tech got hosed. So that was one of those instances I really came away from that game thinking, was there money on that game? I hate thinking that way, but it's just like, So let's go around the Big Ten and predict some games, shall we? Not the greatest slate of games, but but it is what it is. Pull them up here. Starting Friday night, Michigan State at number 6, Oregon. There's a 24-point favorite, 9 o'clock Eastern time game, not 8 o'clock.
And Michigan State's quarterback or coach came from Oregon State, right? So he's familiar. He's familiar with Oregon.
Yep, Jonathan Smith. Yep.
Yep, Oregon rolls.
Yeah, they do. UCLA at number 7, Penn State is a 28-point favorite. Talk about rolling. That's what Penn State's got to do over the Bruins.
Yeah, Penn State with a good win against Illinois. I was hoping, you know, a little bigger win against Illinois, but Illinois hung tough for a while.
James Franklin, I don't know about him, man.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, UCLA is not good. I think Penn State covers that 28.
Iowa at number 3, Ohio State is a 20.5-point favorite. I think Iowa's pretty decent, but I think Ohio State's on their level. They roll.
Over-under is 44.5. Iowa or Ohio State covers that.
Number 20.
Has Ohio State played a road game yet?
So Ohio State played a road game.
Nope, they have not. Oh, yeah. Okay, they played at Michigan State this last week. Duh, I forgot about that.
Well, they took enough up there. It was probably like a home game. But they do go to Oregon next week.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I didn't realize Oregon had them at home. Interesting. Number 23, Indiana. That's hard for me to say out loud and not puke. 14-point favorites at Northwestern.
I can't believe it's only 14, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think IU rolls and makes a bowl game. Comes well eligible. I think that's a whole lot of the fans panic too, is Indiana's doing well. Give Purdue that schedule. Purdue's at least 3-2 with how bad 100%. They've played.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I thought the same thing on Saturday. I was like, given even how bad they played, I still would have. Yep. Yeah, they would have. Yeah. Yep.
And that takes us back to the conversation going forward. That's what Purdue needs to do more years than not.
Yeah. But
they got a lot of contracts and a lot of opponents they're going to have to play out. So you think Indiana wins that one?
Yeah, I think they wiped the floor with them.
Hopefully we're wrong, but
yep.
Good one here in Lincoln. Rutgers 4-0 at 4-1 Nebraska, who is a 6.5-point favorite.
You know what? Give me Shiano and the boys.
They're tough, man. They're a physically tough team.
Yeah.
I'm taking Nebraska because they're at home. And even though they're bad, I feel like they don't lose back-to-back home games too often.
Yeah. Is this spread for real in the Washington-Michigan game?
2.5-point favorites over number 10 Michigan championship rematch.
Wow.
And I'm taking the Huskies.
Are you?
Yep.
I'll take Michigan just to be different. Wow.
I think Michigan's a little better, but.
Yeah. It's just like, when's the last time you saw an unranked team favorite over a top 10 team?
You know, it is one of those cases. You got to travel from the Midwest out. Clear out west, so.
Yeah.
Yep. Number 11, USC, 8-point favorites at Minnesota. Minnesota had a heck of a comeback against Michigan. And
what was the – I didn't see – what was the – it was an onside or it was an onside kick that resulted in – they said it was – they were offside or something like that?
Yes, and it didn't look like it to me on the replay.
Hmm.
So Minnesota would have got the ball with a chance.
Give me USC.
Yep.
I'm going to say they barely cover, like 10.
Is it bad I really wanted this game to be late November?
Yeah, that's
USC at Minnesota.
I think I texted our group chat the other day, like USC with the new Big Ten schedule lucked out because like all the like the Midwest places they go in September.
Big Ten didn't want to piss them off for year one.
Yeah, they played what Minnesota and they played somebody else. It was like they were there in early, like mid September. Like they got so lucky.
Well, I hope they come to West Lafayette next year in November.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're probably used to going to like Notre Dame every other year, but
yeah, but it's funny. Even then, the latest they played them was October, and I remember watching the news where we were from that covers Notre Dame, and those Southern California boys were just complaining how cold it was in Indiana. I'm like, we're not even in the cold month yet. You don't even know what cold is.
Yeah. Wait till you travel to West Lafayette in January for basketball. Granted, you have to walk from the bus to the, the 12 feet from the bus to the door.
Or Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, let's go over some top 25 matchups real quick. Intriguing one Friday night. 3-1 Syracuse at number 25, 4-0 UNLV, who's 7-point favorites.
Give me UNLV.
I'm taking UNLV. I like what Barry Odom's doing, the former Missouri coach. I like what he's doing out there. So they seem united now more than ever after that controversy with that quarterback. SMU 4-1 coming off a whooping over a pathetic Florida State team. I'm just going to call them pathetic at this point.
Yeah.
At number 22, Louisville is 3-1, 7-point favorites coming off a 7-point loss to Notre Dame. Jeffrey Brom was a little aggressive twice at midfield going for a fourth down and didn't get either time.
I didn't get a chance to watch any of the game, but give me Louisville in the bounce back win.
I agree. Number 9, Missouri at number 25, Texas A&M is a 2-point favorite.
You know what? Give me Missouri on the road.
I'll take A&M to be different. Auburn's going to get killed by Georgia. Not even going over that one because Auburn's not very good and Georgia's going to be very mad. Number 12, Ole Miss coming off an upset at home against Kentucky. Anyway, they get beat 2 games in a row. They travel to 3-1 South Carolina. Ole Miss is a 9-point favorite.
I don't think so. I think they win.
No, give me the Gamecocks. I want to see them get all frazzled down hottie totty land down there in Oxford and start calling for Lane's head for some reason. Number 15, Clemson, 14.5-point favorite at 1-4 Florida State. They started the year ranked number 9.
Unreal. It would be hilarious to see Dabo lose this game, though.
They're starting to play well on offense.
That they are. I think Clemson whoops them.
Yep.
Did you see Thad's comment?
USC players complaining it's cold in October. Us still in shorts and hoodies. Absolutely.
I was sweating the other day.
Yep. Number 4, Tennessee. That makes you want to throw up, doesn't it, Webby? 13.5-point favorites at Arkansas.
Yeah, they're fun to watch, though.
They are.
I said I've got some coworkers who work in Knoxville, and I was telling them that the night of the Oregon State game, because I didn't have the CW for some whatever reason in Indianapolis, so I was streaming it. I'll leave it at that. But on my TV, I had the Tennessee Oklahoma game, so I told them at least I had some team. At least I could watch some good offense that night because Purdue's under Tennessee. They've got the offense. They've got the defense.
Yeah, they're national championship caliber.
Yeah, which I was, you know, earlier I was like, they can just miss the playoff. That'd be great, but there's no way they're missing the playoff unless they just implode.
Yep.
They are legit. And they also, talking with some friend of mine who's a Tennessee fan, they also avoid a lot of the big boys in the SEC. I think all they have is like Georgia and maybe Bama. That's it. But like they don't play Missouri. They don't have to play Ole Miss. They don't play
LSU.
They don't play LSU. They don't play. I don't even play Texas. So they good schedule. That's part of it. And in today's world, that's all. It's going to be half the battle is just getting a good schedule.
They play Alabama in 2 weeks at home. They play at Georgia, but yeah, their other games are Florida at home, Kentucky at home, Mississippi State at home, UTEP. I hate how the SEC does that late in the season, and at Vanderbilt.
Yeah. So they're
I think Tennessee wins, but I think Arkansas covers. I think I gave him a game.
I'm going to say Tennessee wins by like 18 to 20.
In the college game day game this week, number 8, Miami, Florida, traveling clear across the country to play a conference game at Cal. Miami's a 10-point favorite, 5-0. Cal's 3-1.
Give me Miami.
Give me the Cal Bears.
Okay.
What goes around comes around, Miami. Shouldn't won Friday night. I know everybody thinks college football is better when you're good, but call it fair. And lastly, Purdue, Wisconsin. I picked against the Boilers last week, thinking I could do some reverse psychology.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Normally, I'm the one who always is the homer, but
you are.
This is Wisconsin.
Yes, it is.
I can't do it. This is my first time in a while. I think I'm going to say Wisconsin. 31, Boilers 21. Boilers keep it.
I'll take 21.
I would take 21. I said 3 scores in the first half, and maybe we could shut up half.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's probably how it's going to turn out.
Baby steps. It's baby steps.
I'm taking Wisconsin as well. 24-13.
God, that sounds miserable.
I know. I got to see it to believe it, whether that's a W or just get the offense going before I give them too many more points. It's just – I was asking you this the other day. Is this the worst offense you've seen in your life as a Purdue fan, or is it that 13 Hazel offense?
I don't remember, honestly, a whole lot of that offense. I try to just block it from memory. But I remember at least like Henry would try to run because he couldn't throw. Like,
and then Etling took over after 5 games.
Yeah. If that was worse,
we had more playmakers in 13.
We did. If that was worse than this, I'm glad I don't remember it. Yeah, but this is just bad.
Yeah,
I think what makes it so bad is I just feel like we have like legit dudes. Hudson.
Do we though? As far as wide receiver, because I think Mockaby's a dude. I think Card's a dude. I think he's talented enough.
He made like that throw to Bibber the other day when it was like kind of like a little slant. Yes. That was a great, yes. He had a really good angle of it. That was just a perfect throw. It's like you see that and it's like, man, like do that every time.
I guess just when I come to dudes is wide receiver. I think Max Clair's a dude, but wide receiver, Adrian looks the part, but we've only seen him game and a half. CJ Smith, we hear how he's the fastest guy on the team, but he's not playing again this week. That's five straight games.
Yeah.
And these other guys who have had opportunities, they haven't stepped up. But I'll tell you one kid I do like the way he looks out there, and that's Cam Brown, number four from UCLA. I don't know if it's just because I'm looking over here at my Purdue monthly calendar. Now in October, it is Rondell Moore. I don't know if it's just something about a number four wide receiver that just makes me happy inside out there. But I like the way he looks with the ball in his hands.
I like Leland Smith. He's made some. He's a couple touchdown passes. Like I think he's But I think your dad was saying after the game, like he said he was watching the receivers and they just weren't getting open. Because that was like that's something I just haven't paid attention to. It's like I was texting my dad and he's like, "This guy's just not getting open." I'm like, I'm not really 100% sure, but it's just like these guys aren't just getting open. Which again, like, is it a scheme thing? Is it
right?
I feel like
I think it's a little bit of both. I think
that's
one thing Walters hit on in his Monday pressers. We got a scheme to make easy throws for Hudson. We're not even getting easy throws for him because you know I'm always one like if the game's going south, why not take some deep shots? Try to take the top off just to get a pass interference penalty if nothing else. Yeah. But people who are smarter when it comes to football than me and watching offensive line, they're like, he doesn't have time.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
Yeah.
It's just bad
all around. I would say give me the controller, but I'm not much better at coordinating an offense on college football 25. So my office is pretty damn boring. Any other thoughts going into the game on Saturday?
I thought I was going to be able to watch it because I was going to be traveling, but I'm no longer traveling, so I don't know if that's a good thing.
Nooner on the Big Ten Network.
Yeah.
Next week's game against Illinois is Fox Sports 1, 3:30.
Yeah.
I like 3:30 games.
I like 3:30 games, yeah. I mean.
Just play hard.
Play hard, competitive. Yeah. If you're going to the game, Madison's an amazing town. Have fun.
Never been.
It's an awesome. It's like consistently rated like the best college town, and that's right.
Hopefully Purdue fans have reason to jump around Saturday.
Yep. Yeah.
Not because of being angry. I've done that plenty. So switching gears real quick to some notes on the hardwood. Purdue got their first commit for the class of 2025. That's a mouthful today. Antonio West. We thought it was coming.
Is it Antonio or Antoine?
I don't know. I thought it was Antonio in my head. Now it's Antoine.
I've never heard his name said. I've only read it.
We'll go with Antoine. You're better at pronunciations than I am. So Antoine West.
Mr. West.
Chose Purdue over Nebraska. And I think Ohio State was his other final
team. Yeah, he had offers from Ohio State, Creighton, Nebraska, Xavier, I think, too. He's an Ohio kid, so a lot of Ohio schools.
It's one of those rare things, maybe we'll see more of him, where he grew up, he says, a Purdue basketball fan because of Carson Edwards and Jaden Ivey.
Yeah, that's wild.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's makes you feel old.
yes, it does.
But yeah, he don't know a whole lot about him because he didn't play in the summer, I think, because of an injury. So, you know, Golden Black didn't have a whole lot of chance to, once Purdue offered and all that, like, didn't have a whole lot of chance to really like see him and give their thoughts. I watched a highlight video today, so he looks great from the highlight video. as they all do. Seems to be a pretty good shot maker. Is I think he's really worked on a shot, but it looks like he'd definitely be he's pretty physical. He's like 6'3", about like 170. So he's not the biggest guy, like frame wise, but he definitely likes to, he's not afraid of contact, which is nice. Watching, I got a little Etwan Moore from it. So that makes me excited. Like, just from, like, he's not the most explosive guy, but he just, he just seemed to be able to have a real knack for scoring. Whether or not we'll see, I think he's rated a 3-star by a lot of places, but I think also part of that's due to he just didn't have a chance to play. So hopefully maybe that rating gets bumped up a little bit. Not that it really matters in the end, but seems to be a pretty decent shot maker. He's got some size. So when you look at, you know, what our guards are going to be with Jakari, CJ Cox, and now Mr. West, they've all got good size. So it's a little bit different than what we're used to in the most recent past. So
yeah, when it comes to basketball recruiting more, I'm not even worried.
No,
there's so much trust and faith in Matt Painter. I don't follow near as closely as I used to.
Yeah, I enjoy following it, but like for this class, like there's obviously the whole, you know, losing out on Trent Sisley and, you know, potentially not getting the two other guys are at. But I'm like, I honestly don't care. Like, which is weird because like 2 years ago, probably I would be losing my mind and stressing out about it. But I think also because just reading about, like, you know, a kid like Raleigh Burgess, who seems to be doing really, really well, you know, if he's a potential redshirt kid, that all of a sudden becomes your forward in the 2025 class. Even if he doesn't, like, he'd still, like, you can still utilize him next year in that spot. But yeah, like, obviously it's nice to get a person in this class. I think, which is more annoying, I think it's just like you see, and it's just outside, which is stupid, the way you even care about it, but like, and you got like people saying like, oh, Priest coming off a national championship appearance, all they're getting is a 3-star, losing out on these other kids. Like, you know, you lose out on
just fine for them. That 3-star they got a few years ago is the most dominant college player in the last 30 years.
Yeah. Or like losing out on Trent Sisley, and like there's the whole like Braylon Mullins, like not even considering Purdue, and Jalen Harrison canceling his bids. Like, if you read that, if you pay attention, you know that like those two things with Mullins and Harrison were gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, I'm not even sure Purdue was even really recruiting Harrison towards the end.
Right.
And then Mullins, it was just like, you know, for a long time Purdue was only looking to think they were gonna be needing a forward, and then Cannon Catchings leaves, and all of a sudden opened up a spot for a potential guard. But by that point, it was too late for a lot of these guys in the 2025 class. So I'm not too worried about it, but it's just kind of just the outside noise is just annoying.
Yeah.
More than anything, it's just annoying.
Yeah.
No, it's exciting. Loving everything we're reading about the practice so far.
It always scares me when I read stuff about players in practice. It produced light years different program than in the early 2000s. But I'll never forget, and this was before I was a Black and Gold subscriber. I was too young, so my dad was the only one in the house subscribed to Black and Gold, or Gold Black, excuse me. And he would tell me reports. Matt Carroll, one offseason. Remember Matt Carroll? Mr. Basketball from Colorado was ripping it up. Player on the floor. Best player. Never translated on the floor. So that just gives me PTSD. But or the Robbie Hummel's going to be redshirted. He's the one that's going to be redshirted. but besides that, no, Purdue's light years is a different program than they used to be. So I believe what I read when it comes to practice reports, and Newbert does a great job. So,
yeah. Besides that, anything else from basketball? Anything else?
Raiden Smith, preseason Big Ten player of the year today, and first team all Big Ten, one of 10 guys. That's what they're doing now.
That list was horrible. I'll be honest. Like, that was a horrible list. Like, I don't know. Like, some of those guys, I mean, no disrespect to Brooks Barnheiser, but like, what? Like, you're gonna pick him over like a Fletcher, like even like obviously pretty biased, like Fletcher Lawyer, Trey Kaufman Wren, like, good God.
Yeah.
Or even like some of these other guys, like, I mean, like, you're like, I didn't see like Malik Renew from Indiana. That kid is legit. Like, he is really, really good.
Yeah. The one member of Indiana is a brand new guy from Arizona.
Yeah, which he'll be really good.
Completely forgot he even went there.
Yeah.
I've tuned them out completely. So
yeah, but there's just like some of the guys, and I was just like, are we serious? Like, who picked this? Because I think they were trying to just get everybody involved, like every school, like give one school to get the new guys involved. Because there was the guy for Washington who played at Utah State, the center that ED ate his lunch. I was like, what are we doing? But yeah, shout out to Braden for preseason. I almost was mad about that. I was like, no, don't pick him. Like,
I know, give him something to be pissed about.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, basketball, I'm excited for. They released the they officially released the movie that they showed on Friday.
I was nervous they weren't going to do that, and it was going to piss me off.
I saw someone write about it.
I'm like, not everybody could get down there Friday night.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way I was going to be able to go on a Friday night, like just like the drive. And I thought like when I was hearing about it, I was like, oh, it's going to be like a 20-minute movie. It was an hour and a half. I was like, hold on. That's when I was like, hold on. They better release this. It's going to be like, I will buy this if I have to. Yes. But they released it on YouTube today, so I need to find time to.
Yeah, me too.
Take a long lunch
tomorrow.
Or something.
Yeah, long lunch tomorrow. I like that.
I've heard it's incredible.
Yeah,
you're able to make it, and actually, who sat in Mackie, and if you sit in lower bowl, hopefully you moved up to the upper bowl, so you weren't craning
your neck.
Gosh,
my neck hurts right now, and I haven't been looking up at a Jumbotron. Yeah. Oh man.
I'm excited for basketball, but I don't want to wish it here. Just
no, you got the good perspective. I'm right there with you. Basketball season's gonna be exciting, but I don't like to wish football season away either. Yeah. Even though this has been a awful start, and it's been frustrating on the podcast so far. I mean, we don't want to be here talking about loss. So yeah. At least give us something exciting to talk about. So hopefully, maybe this week's the week. It's October. It's a new month. And speaking of October being a new month, unfortunately, one of our sponsors, the Great Mad Mushroom, they don't have their pizza of the month on their social media right now, and it's October, so I can't tell you what their pizza of the month is for October, but I can tell you that Mad Mush has been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan and I visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which, like I said, I don't know what it is right now, but I can tell you what it was in September. It was Carl's Spicy Barbecue Chicken, which is their house blended spicy barbecue sauce topped with chicken, cup and char pepperoni, onions, and mozzarella and cheddar cheeses, starting at just $14. So whatever the pizza of the month is for October, it's starting at just $14 as well. And next time you're in town, whether it be this weekend and to watch the Wisconsin game on TV, or next weekend for the Illinois game, or just a weeknight, or in 2 weeks, two Fridays from now for the Oregon game, tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you, and you get $5 off any order over $20. Any Boiler Breakdown listener can also use the coupon code BREAK5, BREAK5, all caps there, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. That's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. And I am confident I will have that pizza of the month up and in the read for you all next week. And our other sponsor, they're always giving good deals out there. Always coming out with new shirts, drinkware, hats, all kinds of apparel, stickers, all kinds of great stuff. That's the shop.
Yeah, the shop's been bringing hometown apparel to the fans since 2011. They started out in their garage. Now they've got 3 retail locations around Indianapolis. They got one in Carmel area, one in Broderpool, and one downtown Indy. So next time you're in the Indianapolis area, stop in. Like I said, they've got great stuff, whether you're a Purdue fan, Indiana fan, Butler fan, Indiana State fan. They're all things Indiana. They've got it all. But if you're looking for a deal, Christmas is coming. It's October.
My wife already warned me. If packages come this week and don't have my name on, don't open them up. So, okay. Cool.
Starting early. Yeah. If you're online, go to theshopindy.com. Use promo code BREAKDOWN. You get 25% off your entire order.
Yes. Take advantage. Their shirts are so comfortable. Not just saying that. I got one of their hats on. I wear this hat all the time. Love the way it feels. Love the way it looks. Snap back. I'm not going to turn my head around because I just smacked my microphone with my head. So snap back. They make all sorts of different hats. So always coming out with cool things. Got to think basketball starts, they'll probably be dropping some more great Purdue merch out there. Absolutely. As well. So any closing thoughts, anything I forgot that you wanted to hit on?
No, so I think this Graham Herald news hopefully gave me a little bit of
it's encouraging.
Spark. It's encouraging. It's very encouraging knowing that. I mean, again, I'm not expecting this to change a whole lot. I mean, you can't do a whole lot midseason, but you just hope to see what we've seen with the defense the last 2 weeks, to see some improvement, continual improvement. I'm not expecting, like I said, Purdue to come out and light it up for 56 points on Saturday.
And I will say one thing I forgot to mention. They did try to adjust the offense a little bit at times, adding a sixth lineman on the line for the run game, but it just didn't help. So.
Yeah. I think it's probably just against Nebraska, and they just that's.
And don't be surprised if Purdue goes to more of a run style offense going forward. It wouldn't shock me at all getting McAvey more involved. So,
yep. Get in the hands of your playmakers.
We'll see, but all we can do is boiler up, hammer down, and beat those Badgers.
Boiler up,